Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Ain't doing it alone.
Ain't doing it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Fire! 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 Fire pressure, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preachers.
Children, they're the ones who's suffering every day. The children, wake up, y'all, wake up. No matter what race, creed, or color, everybody, we all need each other. Okay, wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking times of thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world, to Bring Back the Family. I am your host, Kathy Clyburn, and I am so happy and glad that you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. First, we want to acknowledge God with a scripture, and then after that, we'll have a prayer. By scripture, by our own very Jacqueline Vandegrift, and then very own Rebecca Jackson. Okay, hi, ladies.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Okay, I'm going to start off with the scripture: a living sacrifice to God, Romans 12:1-13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privileges and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
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 You want me to say the prayer?
Yes, ma'am. You ready?
Okay, let's pray. Mm-hmm. Our Father, thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. Thank you for all the listeners and all those who will contribute to the discussion tonight. I ask that you bless each person that is listening now or will listen in the future. And bless Sister Deaconess Kathy for her sacrifices and contributions to assist the ones with the purest hearts, children. We thank you that your work through her inspires each of us to make our own sacrifices. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that we have already received and for the opportunity to come boldly to your throne to ask for even more. We thank you for Pastor O and for his wisdom to produce this show. Please give us the courage to be uncomfortable as you show each of us ways to nurture and protect children in need and right the wrongs we see in our neighborhoods today. We thank you and ask for all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's power, power in prayer. And that's some power right there. Thank you. Thank you, my co-hosts, Jacqueline Van de Grib, Rebecca Johnson, and Callie Pierce. You and me. Okay? All right. Hey, you know I love that song, Wake Up Everybody. And it says so much. And it says a lot, and it should give us a whole lot to think about when it comes to IU and the support that they need. It's a call for people to wake up. Wake up to what's going on around us. It's a call for us to get engaged and to make a difference. It talks about war, hatred, poverty, challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time. It's calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. So whose responsibility is it? And what are we going to make up in our minds to do? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the challenges and the changes and support and sacrifice meeting our youth and people right where they are in order to make a difference in this world? Who is willing? Who is willing? who's going to be in charge of the next generation to pass that torch and running the race, doing great things because we prepared them. We can do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent quality time so that we would not be a burden or a nuisance to others in the community and around this world. Okay? Who was willing? Who was willing? Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens, so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around this world. And all they need is a good foundation. And as parents and community, that foundation comes from me and you. Someone did it for us, so we have to do the same. Do it for them. Okay? So what do we propose? What do Bring Back the Family propose? We propose that we do this block by block. Do something for your youth on your block. Do something for the youth on your block right there in front of you. Okay? We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. Okay? Who? What do we propose? Okay? Block by block. Imagine that. Doing something on your block. Something positive. Just sharing. It's just a matter of sharing. Caring. Love. You know, just being, you know, being loving and kind. Being a good example that our youth can see and learn and live by. Okay? Simple things like books, outings, field trips, you know, skating, the movies. Simple things, activities, conversation, a hug, just showing some interest. A lot of our youth just want some attention, you know, okay? So that's what Bring Back the Family propose. We propose doing this block by block, getting out on your block, doing something on your block for your youth. Okay? God bless it. Just got to do it. My dad said, be like Nike. Just do it. Okay? You know, I'd like to thank all my sisters for standing in and doing a marvelous job last week. It was so good. I wanted to jump in so bad, but nothing would come out. And I was like, I had zero voice. But it was good to just sit back and just listen. And it just really warmed my heart, made me feel so good just to know that they share a vision that they know that's important as well. I was just like, I was all smiles, just kind of sitting back, and I really wanted to jump in and say, I was like, God, what did you do to my voice? He just took it away. But he let me know that I have lots of support and lots of love and people that care, you know, about what's going on in this world, that they were willing to step in and just be that voice. Okay? So thank you, my sisters. Thank you, my sisters. God is blessing. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, I really enjoyed the conversation last week. It was just so rich, and all I, you know, just heard and received from that is that help is on the way. You know, help is on the way. We talked about money and saving and sewing and knitting and tutoring and teaching and writing papers and teaching the youth how to write. That really almost is, I wanted to scream, you know, because that is very important. And I know that Ms. Pierce has a gift for writing, and I just can't wait to get that started. And all of the other things that were mentioned, the sewing and the knitting and the cooking, just, you know, that just let us know help is on the way. And we do see and feel the need and the importance, you know, of our children having what it is that they need, you know, to make it. You know, that's just showing me that there, you know, it's support out there and people really do care. You know, it's important for them to have the skills, you know, the know-how, the how-to, and the understanding that they can have a positive place in this life and that they are, you know, that they're important, you know, and that we need them. We need our youth. We need them to grow up and be good, productive citizens. You know, who's going to look out for us? You know, we didn't train that next generation to look out for us and to be, you know, good community people and just know how to do things, know how to react, know how to get things done, you know. And, you know, we don't have any of that. We'd be in trouble. And, you know, we just need our youth to understand just who they are and the roles that they play in life. You know, not just existing, but knowing all the ins and outs, the direction, you know, having no fear, being confident, excited, full of ambition. Mm-hmm. Where do they get it? They get it from us so that they can do as well, pass it down to the next generation. You know, they see us being strong, standing up, being good stand-up citizens, and they're watching us. That's what they're going to be. That's what they're going to strive to be. You know, we want them to be strong. I mean, strong to where they could battle anything, you know, anything that come their way. And we want to make them strong like that. We want to make sure that they're in the know of everything. They know everything about life that they should know once they get out there and they could tackle anything, okay? As I go through, you know, my daily, just day-to-day, and just observe people and observe young people and observe young people with kids and babies and, you know, especially babies. And I noticed how they just learn so fast. And they pick up everything. They pick up every word you say. They mimic everything you do, especially when you think they're not listening. And then they say the same thing that you said, and it might have been something that was out of order. And then you quickly know that they are listening, you know. Yeah, they are listening. And then that just kind of sparked, you know, something in me today and brought about this conversation. And, you know, if we want our children to be the best at everything, you know, we have to show them the best. Everything, okay? We have to show them the best of everything. We want them to be the best. We got to show them the best and give them the best, okay? All they need is that good old-fashioned quality time, okay? We got to take them to quality places, do quality things in front of them. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go, it should be a teaching moment. Okay, when you're riding in the car, it should be a teaching moment, you know. I mean, just wherever you go, you're going to learn something. So long as they're with you, make sure they learn something while they're with you, you know. And I'm talking about those little ones, some little ones that are sponges. I just went way back because I was hanging out with my little baby today. He's one and would be two in April. And just, you know, it just made me think about today's show as far as what we really should be doing, you know, in front of these little ones, because they grab. I mean, they really grab, and that's when, you know, they learn, you know, they pick up like sponges. Like I said, riding in the car, going to church, giving them activities, reading books to them, okay? Taking them to your appointments, your doctor's appointments, your dentist. And that's what I did today. Took my little fellow with me, one, the two. I took him to my appointment today. And, you know, of course, he was a little standout and got a lot of attention. And I said, well, I'm bringing him here with me. Well, first of all, he needed me to babysit for him. And so I said, I don't want him to be the patient. I want him to be the doctor, you know, not the patient. So if we take our little ones to, you know, these places, you know, make sure they learn something while they're there, you know, because they are like sponges, you know. And I just observed them, you know. He was there a good little while, and he sat just quietly, sat in the chair, and his little self just sat there just observing and looking around and checking everything out. Then they came in and they, you know, they talked to him. He just sat there and looked at him. And then they started showing him things, you know. They had this this vision board, I call it a vision board, and it showed the whole body. And when you touch these different parts, the different parts of the body lit up, and it would tell you what it is. And so they was trying to show him how to do that. So he was, you know, kind of, he was looking. He was really looking and paying attention. And so once he got comfortable and they kind of took their mind off of him, he walked right over there and did exactly what they did and started pressing and looking at the whole body just light up and all the different parts, you know. And, you know, and it brought up the human body. He did it. He did it just exactly the way they did it. And I was like, and I just sat there and looked at him, you know. And he, and so that was just cool. So that's a learning moment. And I was like, if that little bitty thing can learn like that, looking, then we know that's what we have to do right there. Start it at that age and before, early reading to him. You know, Keela used to say how she read to her son while he was in the belly. But this just hanging out with that little one today just really just brought about, you know, this conversation today as far as giving them, you know, giving it to them right there, letting them learn wherever they go, making a learning experience. When I go to my doctor's appointment sometimes and they have 13 and 14-year-olds in there observing, And I don't mind because I know that, you know, hey, they want to be a doctor, and that's when you're supposed to start them early. And so it's okay for us to do that. We could take our kids to these different places. I used to take kids downtown. We would catch the bus so they would know how to catch the bus so they don't get used to cars. We catch the bus downtown and go to different offices. I had a friend that was an accountant, and he had a nice big office, and we went in and just showed them, you know, they took a little tour around. They were little people. And he sat and talked to them and you know, things like that. Just taking them out to catch the bus or downtown exploring. So that they don't be afraid to go places, you know. You have to just put them out there, you know, so that they can be well-rounded. They can be ready. They won't be afraid of life. You know, they can explore and be little explorers, you know, because that just really just made me think, you know, just seeing that little one exploring and just so he wants to learn, you know. And sometimes we, you know, smack their hands with different things and tell them no, 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 and don't do this and don't do that. But they're learning. And sometimes we push them back while they're trying to learn and they're exploring, you know. And so Yeah. So yeah. Even just showing them how to eat. You know, they're little, but they still can learn how to eat. You know, you get them a little bitty table and their little chair set, and you do a place setting and sit down with them so that they can know how to sit and have a, you know, conversation. 1.5-year-olds know how, they talk a lot. And they know how to have a conversation. They might be gerbering and stuff like that, but they still know how to conversate. And they, you know, if you show them how to sit there and eat, you know, versus getting fast food all the time or taking them in the room and letting them eat the dead or whatever like that, you know, let them sit down and have a little conversation. That's teaching. That's teaching when they get used to sitting at their little table. You know, it's just like you potty train them, you know. I brought the little fella a little potty the other day. First thing he did was pull his pants down and sat on it. So he's already advanced. He's ready to learn. And we want them to be smart. We want them to be smart. We got to do smart things with them, okay? Yeah, they see you on the phone all the time. That's what they're going to do. They're going to be on the phone. So that lets you know that they're watching. They're watching, okay? Whatever we do, that's what they're going to do. And home. Home should be quiet, safe, and fun-loving. No drama, no fighting, you know? And that'll, you know, keep them level. They're going to do what they see. So, got to pay attention to them little ones and always, you know, make sure that we're doing the right things in front of them and let them be advanced. Take them to some big events so that they could get used to going to those places, okay? I told one parent that I was close to with her kids long years ago, I say, you know what? You have some brilliant children. Brilliant boys. 4 boys, brilliant, all of them brilliant. And I say, if you just put that time in, just be a soccer mom, these tender years, put that time in, be the soccer mom, get your van, put all that stuff on the van, let them know that you care about them, you know. Those boys will look out for you. They'll take care of you. I tell you, you got some million-dollar babies, really, because they were really brilliant. I kept telling them, I said, you got some million-dollar babies there. Just put that time in. Just forget about what you want right now and put that time in with them boys and watch what they do. No sacrifice. Nope. Got to sacrifice. Yeah, if you don't invest, no investment coming back. And I can tell you that didn't end well at all. So, Sister Vandergrift and Sister Johnson and Sister Tear, what you guys got to say about all that? That's my little one, my little roadie. Hey there. Thank you guys for last week. You guys were the bomb. And really enjoyed that show last week. Got my voice back. And feeling good. Just say back in the saddle. So thank you. Thank you so much.
I enjoyed myself. And I'm so glad you feel better.
I do. I don't know where it came from, but it came and hit hard. Every time I thought I felt better, it got worse. Yeah, so now I think I sound like myself now. Yeah. It's
I agree.
Hard to try to talk. Huh?
I was going to say that you do sound like yourself, except maybe you have a little gravel in your voice, maybe a tiny bit.
yeah, still there just a little bit, yeah. Yeah, it was really hard to talk. I was still trying to talk, and I was like, why are you hurting yourself? He said, just be quiet, didn't he? Say, be quiet. Yeah. So, yeah, what do you guys think about these little babies being sponges? And I mean, they've always been sponges, but it just made me think about, like, gosh, if we just really start right there and start teaching them at that young age and just showing them all the good things in life and all the, you know, best things, and, I mean, just fill their head up with so much knowledge that they can't do nothing but be successful.
I think that's a good spinoff from last week where we were talking about the power of words. And so it goes together. And that's what my dad would say, even when children are teenagers and they're pretending not to listen or they don't want to hear what you have to say, they're still hearing it and soaking it in like a flood.
They are. Yeah, and they're so smart. And if we just pay attention to them and just see how smart they are, you know, it should just put a big light bulb should go off in our heads and say, boy, he's advanced, you know. Yeah, and, you know, if you show them, you know, wild things like, you know, the things that we don't want them to know and we see it, then we'll be like, uh-oh. So that lets you know that they really learn. At that age, just like sponges, as they say. Yes. Sure, like it over. Yeah. Yeah, because I really had had a good time today with that little fella, and you know, just seeing them, just learning, you know, so fast, you know. You, like you say, you'd be thinking they're not listening and looking, and you know, they were showing them how to work the whatever it's like, a, you know, not a kiosk, but a vision board, and it would light up every time you would touch a part of the body. It would light up and tell you exactly what it was. And, you know, it's easier. I would think it'd be easy to be a doctor these days because whereas back in the day they had to go and, you know, they just had books that they had to go and find all these parts and learn the parts of things. Now that thing is illuminated now where you could just really see the parts up close and personal. Mm-hmm. A lot easier now. Miss Jackie, you with us? Make sure your mic is open. Okay.
I'm with you. I was just listening, and I was thinking about that. You know, I kind of looked up, and I said, I was reading something on that. And some researchers say we need to start before the children are born, and some people, they actually read to the baby while they carry the baby. But they said the first 1,000 days of the child's life is very important because they learn faster, and their little brains are developing. You know, they're so sweet at that age, and we do have to be careful what we say in front of our children and guiding them in the right direction. But I was just listening to you, and I was just imagining what experience he had when he was actually learning, pushing the little button to see what part of the body was. That was interesting.
Yeah. And I know some people, while they're driving in the cars, you know, kids learn how to spell and how to recognize objects and things while they're driving. That's another good way to learn.
Well, you know what? You have little ones. I guess they take over the TV with their little kid shows because we want the best for them. So we wind up listening to more kid shows and letting the kid come out in us and just enjoying the little people. It is wonderful, yes.
It is. Getting a little choked up. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what brought about this conversation today, because I was like, wow, he is really, you know, really observant, you know. And I was like, wow, look how he's just, you know, touching the board and making it light up. He was just really, you know, enthused at what he was seeing, you know. And, yeah. So what did you say? What was the age group you were saying? The age that you should do what now?
No, they were saying the first 1,000 days in a child's life is very important, and how the brain develops so fast. When they 3 years, it's continued to develop, but they were saying that up to age 3, in some places, I was reading where they did a survey, and they were teaching little children how to speak English at a very young age. And they were saying that how they adapt to it and during those times, teaching them, having a foreign language spoke into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids were doing these surveys and how well they learned how to speak their first words. And we noticed the little language that they have prior to it, and then all of a sudden, one day they start speaking words very clearly, and they speak these words because most of the time they hear the words.
Mhm. And you know, it would be so wonderful if the young parents were really in tune with their infants when they're. Their little ones like that, you know, because they would be so, so far ahead once they get, you know, to be 5.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know my brother used to say how he would read to his son when he was little, and he would always say, if they would just make sure they have the basics from, you know, 0 to 5, if they just had the basics, teach them how to read. All the basic things that they learn at that age and get them used to reading, because if you get them used to reading, like taking them to the library all the time, that's something they'll love to do. Isn't that something? You know, it's just like, what is it? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But you know what? I was listening to something that you had said earlier about buying a little people's table and chairs,
mm-hmm.
so they can mm-hmm. learn how to sit at the table in their little room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exposing them to so many different things.
Right. Remember, we used to have we used to have tea sets, and we used to set the table and have little tea parties and things like that. Mm-hmm. Those things need to come back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do. It's just conditioning them. It's conditioning them early, and you anything that we do over and over and over and over again, they're bound to learn. But we just, you know, these younger generations, they have to do it, you know, because you can hear the kid reciting and repeating some of these songs that, you know, that worldly songs that they could sing and know every word, you know. So just think if you just put the things that's going to get them, you know, ahead in life if they did the same thing. I know a young person had their infant. I can't remember what language. I think it was Arabic. And she was watching her baby, had a daycare. And her baby was speaking Arabic language and wasn't speaking English.
Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. So you said she was actually, was she carrying the baby while she was working there, or how
no,
did
she this was a daycare. It was a daycare, and she was a black woman, and she took her child to this daycare, and they were, I think, Arab descent, and that baby learned that language before he learned English.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're sitting around speaking Spanish to them all day, that's what they're going to pick up.
So I wonder, did she learn Arabic? Or did she know that what he was actually saying?
No. She didn't know it. The baby did, though. Yeah. Excuse me. I thought that was amazing. I was like, that's cool. Yeah. Now he growing up knowing a whole nother language. He's going to learn English eventually. Yeah. That's a plus. It's just like conditioning their little minds. That's why, like, when they learn how to swim, they throw an infant in the water, what, 6 months old or less, get them used to that water. And they'll love it. And that's all they'll love that, you know. When they see the ocean, they won't be afraid. And it's just conditioning their little mind. Well, like you said, by 3 years old, wow. Just think what they could know by 3 years old and just put that time in. Put that time in. Early. Put it in early. And put that time in, and because, you know, like I always say, they didn't ask to come here, so it's their responsibility to give them that time, you know, or else you'll be taking care of them the rest of their life. Yeah.
But you know what? We speak this, but we wonder how, and I'm quite sure a lot of people touch on the environment and what they are allowing their children to be exposed to. But we have many families that, because there's no book on really how to raise your child, a lot of people go by trial and error. But, you know, how do we reach the families that are living next door? That's just a little metaphor I'm throwing out. But how do we reach them? How do we create programs that can help develop the way our children are exposed to things?
Yeah, good question, because that's just it. Create some good programs. And once we start getting our parents to know that their kids are important and that they need this early, and then they start to, you know, see other people getting it, you know, and the programs are there. Just like, you know, we don't really have that many community centers in our neighborhood, okay? So what they do, they find their own playtime. They up on buildings and throwing rocks and playing ball in the street, you know. So if they don't have no one to take them outside the community, then that's what they're going to be doing right there. They're going to stay right there. But if you have things just on your block, if you have things on your block that you could do to excite their minds and get them interested, take them off the block, do some things on the block, you know, and just have them competing. You know, once they start to get in those programs, start getting programs, and the parents are seeing, you know, well, their kids are doing well, these kids are doing well, how can my kids do well, okay? And then they'll start competing against each other. And that's what we want. We want them to compete. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're just going to have to not be so quiet. We're going to have to get out there and shout about it. Shout about what we want, what we need for our kids. We got to almost have a parade, you know, to let them know our kids are important. We need them to do this. We need them to be this. We need them to be strong. We need, you know, this is what we need for our kids.
Well, mm-hmm. You know what?
But if ain't nobody talking.
That's true, but in another sense, you know, and because we're living in these times, and maybe we could start, you know, back, you know, people starting to get back out and focus more mm-hmm. on activities at a church or a mm-hmm. center or something like that, where mm-hmm. Your neighbors, where, because, you know, people today, it's not like block clubs like they used to be. Everybody knew everybody mm-hmm. on the street. Sometimes you don't even know your neighbor. But if you know they have children and there's always something happening at the church, and you invite them to take their children mm-hmm. up there for the field experience, then I think that might work a little bit better than going to somebody's house saying that I would like, you know, what your vision is, because sometimes people don't accept that well, where they will accept
no,
it.
No, I'm not saying like, I'm saying make some noise. So block off your street. You know, get out there, have the armed forces come. We used to have, two times we had a 5-block club party event, and it went from Otter Drive all the way to Visker. Oh, my God, it was so many people that came out. That's what I'm talking about, something like that, where you bring, you know, your police force, you bring your fire department, you bring the armed services, you bring, you know, all the different careers out there, and you have your face paint, you have bouncies, you have, you know, lots of food and things like that, and just to try to bring it back, you know.
Now, that sounds
like you said, we used to have block club parties. Yeah, we used to have block mm-hmm. clubs, and people used to block off the streets, and everybody used to know each other, used to know one another. And so those kind of things need to come back. So, the happiness needs to come back. People's hearts need to, you know, just have some joy in them, so that they get used to doing these things again, so that the next generation can see us happy. Can have some joy in their lives, you know. Yeah,
that's true.
Getting what we had, or better.
Right. Mm-hmm. That sounds exciting. Something to mm-hmm. look forward to during the spring, like you say, make mm-hmm. keep it making moments, you know, and
mm-hmm.
a 5-block festivities. The word will spread. Mm-hmm. and you have children activity, bouncy houses, they are coming.
Oh yeah, the first one that we had, it was so beautiful. It was a beautiful day. It was sunny, not a cloud in the sky. And that's when the churches was like, booming. The churches were in the community, and like a lot of churches came. We had a lot of people, and it was just everything went beautiful, beautiful. We had activities for the kids. All the different careers were out there. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, some food vendors, clowns, and, business people came out, politicians came out,
That sounds like a fun day.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Mm-hmm.
It was, it was a lot of work.
Yes. And this was before COVID. You used to see the little kids had birthday parties and they had their little trains going up and down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Going up and down the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to make it, fun for the kids, so that they can know how to do some things, We don't show them anything, they won't know anything. Their faces are plastered in these phones, so tough, and that's what they're learning right now. They're learning everything on these phones, and our parents are buying them these phones, and they are so into them. The face is just in the phone, so they're not learning how to read. They're not interested in doing any, reading, writing, none of that. And it's just the phone and the entertainment that's going on in the phone. And that's why I don't understand, parents can't see the destruction that's causing. So we're going to have to get them out the house, get them phones away from them so that they can, it's like just bringing them back, bringing back family, bringing back the family and, letting people see the importance of it, and then they think about what they used to have and what we used to do. And then maybe the light will go off and say, yeah, we got to get these kids back together. Got to get these families back together. Yeah. They just grew too quiet. Yeah, they grew too quiet. And they are just growing. They're growing. They're getting older, older, older. They're not staying babies. Mm-hmm. They're catching up with us. And so if they don't have anything to offer,
but
where
I like
going?
That. You say get out of the house. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Getting them out of the house. And I think you said the golf program is starting what in March?
Yeah, I think it's March. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So
yeah,
we
March,
need to have kids, so we can make a great showing. Because when you do a showing, it means that more things come into play in your community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we'll do a big parade. And people are wondering, wow, what they doing? What they doing? We got to get them motivated and excited, Maybe have a speaker come out that, everybody know. Maybe Steve Harvey or somebody, get them to come on the block. I don't know. Write a letter. Maybe Oprah will come. somebody the kids like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Jay-Z or somebody. I don't know. Yeah. Get them going, we got to motivate our people all over again. It's like a rebirth. And just let them know, I don't know. It's like we just go along to get along, or we just going along one day at a time. We're supposed to take one day at a time, but we're just going along with what we got, and nothing more. And the kids are basically on their own. So we have to kind of make some noise and, you know, cry and scream and, you know, just come on, come on, y'all. But just, you know, just keep our ideals flowing. You know, God keep on giving us good ideals, and this thing going to kick off. It's going to kick off, and, yeah, people will be more aware. They'll be more aware of what they need to do for their kids. Mm-hmm. Instead of just leaving it to the school system, you know,
friend,
the teachers that.
In essence, what you're saying is that we need to reshape an agenda for our children, unlock, have results, and unlock the big change.
Yes.
I like that. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And we can get all the churches involved because that's where all the people at. All the people, well, you know, if they're back in churches. It's like, I don't know, it's like we kind of went into zombie land after this, the COVID thing. It kind of took a lot out of us, so we got to put a lot back in. I think that COVID really took a lot out of people. And, yeah, we got to get the excitement back, the excitement about, you know, success. I mean, you can't just leave the kids behind. We got to bring them up. Yeah, we got to bring them up. You can't just leave them, abandon them like that. We have to bring them up.
That's going to be a great impact.
Just encouragement.
I said a great impact on our youth.
I mean, just encourage. We have to encourage. You know, every kid we see, we have to encourage them, you know. Even, like I said, the little ones, just anything that we could give them that's going to encourage them to learn, that they can learn something each time. Each time we're around a kid, make sure they're learning something. Encouraging them, you know, showing them some kind of love and affection, you know, just letting them know, you know, we love you. Life is about love, remember? The
yes,
love
it is
out there. It's in the air. It's still out there. We're going to get it and bring it on back. I see old Shania on the line. Shania? Hey, Shania, you want to say something today?
Hello, is my mic on?
Yes. Hi.
Oh,
Shania, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing? How's everyone else doing as well?
Good, good. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
You was a little bitty old thing. You was a little bitty little princess now. A grown woman that have done very well. We're so proud of you.
Thanks, my cat.
Yeah, what's going on out there in the work world?
Oh, yeah, things are picking up. We just started like our new quarter, so, and I also started like my new position into my next phase of training. So it's been, you know, really just been picking up, and you know, it's a lot of fun though.
Good, learning a lot, huh?
Yeah, I am. How are you feeling? I'm glad you're feeling better, Aunt Kat.
I'm feeling much, much better. Much better. I still got a little slight cough, but I'm still alive.
Yeah.
Still alive. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Well, how's Mr. Dan?
He's doing well. He just finished up his first semester of grad school, and he's about to start his new one up, and he's been working as well, so we've been doing pretty good.
Good deal, good deal. Love it. Love that. Yes. What'd you do for your birthday?
Oh, Dan had planned some stuff, so we had, he, like, scheduled this spa appointment, and then we had did like a helicopter ride around Detroit, and then we went out to eat afterwards.
Exciting. That was a good birthday.
Yeah.
Good deal. So when you think about what we were talking about. Go ahead, baby.
Oh, yeah. I was just about to touch on that, yeah. Especially about the community center part. You know, it gets, you know, having more community centers in the actual community that they live in, it's, you know, they feel more comfortable going to those types of community centers if there were more for them in their own, you know, spaces that they live in. And plus it just promotes, like, that physical activity that parents want for their children, so they're not just, like, sitting in the house on their phones. They can go to the community center. They can have, you know, an abundance of sports to play, such as karate or, excuse me, or basketball and things like that. So that was one that topic that had resonated with me because, you know, there definitely should be more community centers for the amount of people that live in one community, in one neighborhood. And I think that it'll definitely have an impact on their physical activity as well as, like, their mental health because it'll give them something to do and it'll give them something to, like, work for. Okay, after school, after I do my homework, I can go to the community center. So, yeah, that's one topic that had resonated me and that I wanted to comment on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we need them. You know, we used to have community centers, and so, you know, powers that be, they just disappear, and, you know, they know that we need them, so I don't know what, you know, why, you know, it's like that. And we have to go outside of our community in order to be able to, you know, go swimming and, you know, take karate or rock climb or play basketball or play different sports and things like that, you know. And some people, you know, they don't drive. So most of the community centers are, you know, far out. So I think that needs to be some kind of movement to get with the city council and the powers that be down there that make all the decisions for us, you know, to get some more community centers in our own community where we live. Yeah.
That's a big one. Absolutely. And then, you know, when we do go out to the community centers that are farther out, they raise the prices, especially, you know, for a predominantly black sports play such as basketball. You know, they charge these high prices to get in on the daily rate. Or, you know, they just, you know, they don't make them feel comfortable when they travel out, if they do decide to travel outside of their neighborhoods, go to the community centers. As well as the swimming topic, you know, black people may not know how to swim, you know, as far as it's a generational thing because they didn't have swimming pools in black communities. And so it's only going to continue if we don't get swimming pools in our communities. And so, yeah, it's just a trickle effect that can really just be solved with having community centers.
All right, right. Remember the swimmobile used to come around?
Oh, no, I don't, actually.
Oh, you don't remember that? Yeah, the swimmobile used to come around. We'd go swimming in the swimmobile, big old container-type thing that we used to swim in. And it used to be a bookmobile that used to come around, a big bus that you go and get books on, so. Yeah,
wow.
Those are the things that we don't have. So that's a good thing to do. Maybe, you know, that's a good idea. We could start maybe taking, you know, if anybody wanted, you know, an idea of doing something on your block, you know, get a few kids on your block and teach them how to swim or take them swimming, get them some lessons or something like that, you know. Yeah, I didn't learn how to swim until I was grown. I was out in the boat with my dad, and you know, you trust your dad, you know. But when you old enough to know that, you know, well, golly, I was out there in all that water and didn't know how to swim. You know, we were younger, but as I got older and said, oh man, I need to know how to swim because dad can't save all of us, you know. So yeah, so I went and took lessons. So I could at least save myself. Yeah, and sometimes you don't even realize that, you know, you need those things until you get older. you know, because it wasn't introduced. You know, it wasn't, you know, like I said, you didn't have the community centers to teach you, or nobody, you know, talked about it going swimming. You know. But I used to go to Kimberly and learn how to swim all the time. But, yeah. And they fixed the Kimberly up there, but they didn't put the pool in. So that's an issue. You still have to go outside the community in order to be able to swim. Yeah.
Oh, I thought they did.
The whole...
I thought Kimberly Center did have a pool. I'm so
they
disappointed.
Yeah, they did have one, but they closed it off. They redid it, but they didn't include the pool in there. Politics, dirty politics. So, yeah. But we don't make enough noise. We just don't make enough noise. And when people make decisions for us, and we don't make enough noise. Yeah. But, you know, that's conversation that, you know, let us know that these things are important, you know, for our kids, our babies, our little ones, you know. Yeah. And we have to, you know, take the initiative to go in our pockets and invest. Invest in them getting some music lessons. Invest in them taking swimming lessons. Investing in a gym, what do you call it, a gym membership, you know, so that they can have somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Shania. So always so good to hear from you.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I said, I'm going to keep it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're in the next generation, and I know that you're going to be out there just pulling them up, getting the next generation ready, you know, giving back. Mm-hmm. So proud of you. Yeah. Okay. Well, we got about 3 more minutes, and we're going to have Awesome O come on. Anybody else would like to have a word to say, you can press 1. And... feel free. And a good show. We just talked about, you know, the youngins, you know, being sponges and learning from 0 to 3.
I just
want to
add
lots of noise.
Another workshop I thought of that would be beneficial. A financial
mm-hmm.
literacy class for the youth.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
The financial
excellent.
Literacy is the new Underground Railroad. So
mm-hmm.
I hear.
Mm.
And I've heard about parents, that meaning that that's a skill that we need to teach
mm-hmm.
in the Black community.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, they need to know about money. Y'all hit on that last week. Yeah, that was really good. Mm-hmm. Teaching them how to save and getting them a bank account when they're younger, and then they talked about the credit. By the time they get 18, they have some good credit because they already have a bank account established. I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we can add
mm-hmm.
our youth to our a credit card so that they can be authorized users, though they will not have access to use the card. But they can be on there
mm.
to build
wow.
credit.
It's another way.
Mm-hmm.
I like that financial literacy class. Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot to learn. We do. We're behind. And like I said, we just got to make some noise and wake the people back up because we kind of got in a big rut with the with the COVID. We're going to beat COVID down and do away with it and get back to, you know, being alive. Yeah, being alive.
I made a list of careers that do not require college.
Okay,
so,
cool.
There's x-ray tech, electrician, carpenter, plumber, real estate agent, pilot, wind turbine technician, mechanic, firefighter, flight attendant, elevator installer, web developer, construction management, court reporter, or private detectives and investigators.
Wow. So how do you get trained? Just on the job
training?
Well,
each one of those has a different training. Oh, yeah. There's a, like x-ray tech, I think it's 12 weeks of school class.
Wow.
Not college, though.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then
good.
For a carpenter, you would need an apprenticeship. Plumber too.
I work up under someone.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good list. Because you get more and more kids that's in it. They ain't going to school. They ain't going to college. They, you know. Yeah. And they don't understand. They don't understand. We have to make them understand, you know, that they need that. That's something that you can't nobody take from you once you get it.
Right.
But for the ones that's not college bound and just really, really dead set not on going to get, you know, a further education, those are some good fields to go into. Mm-hmm. And now to be a nurse, they cut that time down. You could go and be a nurse in about a year.
Amazing. I didn't know that.
They got a lot of programs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, after the COVID thing, they just had all kind of accelerated nursing programs that you could get into. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these kids, they got to get hungry. I don't know nothing about part-time. I hear a lot of the young folks talking about, oh, I work part-time. no way. No such thing as part time. I don't know where they get that from, but yeah, we got to motivate them. This is the time that they could be making money. This is the time that they could be, like you said, getting in one of those programs so that they can learn a skill. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take them
strong,
to look for a partner. That might motivate them.
Oh, now that would be a nice field trip. I know I used to take my little fellas out. Huh?
Yeah, I agree. That's
say?
A good field trip. Mhm.
It's real good. Yeah. I used to take my little fellas out to way out in Bloomfield and all those places out there and just ride around and just show them. I say, now this is how your yard's supposed to look. And if you go to school, this is the kind of house you could get. You know, if you work hard, you know, this is the kind of house you could live in. You go anywhere you want to go, anywhere, you know, just do the work. Oh, boy. I think I'm going to have to do that again. That would be a great field trip. It really will. Go down Jefferson. We used to ride down Jefferson, look at the houses right off the ocean, you know, the Detroit River. Uh-huh. You can live like this. You have anything you want to have. Mm-hmm. Just got to go to work. All right. Okay, well, time for the awesome O. Time is running. That went so fast. Awesome. Oh, are you out there anywhere?
Yes, I am, and it's so good to hear you back.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Glad to be back. That was only a week. I told them, I said, I want to do this again.
See, I enjoyed your co-hosts. They were awesome. Yes, indeed.
I said, can
awesome.
We do this next week? That's what I told Jack. Can we do this next week? She said, oh, you better come on.
Say them, let them feel the butterflies like they ain't never felt them before.
Right, right. They sure did a good job. They wasn't scared
they
at
did.
All. They were like professionals.
They
mm-hmm.
did. They know the format.
They wasn't scared.
And they mm-hmm. stayed right, and they stuck with it. We had a real good conversation on that, that financial literacy. That was a good conversation. But from the outset, we were talking about how do you reach out and touch the family next door. That's a good question. You know, my wife, back when Running for Christ Ministries was starting, she was buying books, and she bought Rick Warren's book, both of them, The Purpose-Driven mm-hmm. Life, and read that one. And then she bought me The Purpose-Driven Church right when Running for Christ Ministries was started. And it's a book about different styles of how you administrate your church or how churches are administrated. And that was one of the subjects that came up. If you know, like organizing a church. And this would be pretty much the same thing. You're trying to figure out, how do I get this message out to the people? I like how Jackie brought the church into it, because if you'll go back, especially in all of Christian history, whether you're black, white, Asian, or whatever, if you were Christian, especially in the beginning, you were ostracized. And so the social services organization for Christians started in the church. And then if you follow Christianity throughout history, you'll see that social services started, churches played a big part in that. It's in these modern times that churches now sort of focus inward. You know, everything is for us. We want to have conferences, and we'll spend big money on that. We'll get people into a football arena. And we'll all come by, we wonderful, go back home, be wonderful Christians. But we, in the beginning, the church's effort was outward. And for instance, the socials, let me read you a real quick scripture without preaching. Pastor Barlow used to tell me that, well, Reverend, when you take a scripture, you're getting ready to preach. But anyway, in the book of Acts, in chapter 4, you'll find these words. Oh, boy, I really sound like I'm from the priest, don't I? All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. Now, here's the part you want to hear. There was no needy among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. Well, they didn't sell the houses they were living in. They had houses. They had lands. Okay, they owned different. And they sold that. And then they put that money to work in a social service way. You know, by the time you get to Acts chapter 6, the only people who are in need are the widows. Everybody else has gained employment from people who previously, before they became Christians, wouldn't employ them. The point is, in Acts chapter 5, there's a passage of scripture that says everybody admired the church and all of the things that they saw going on in the church. A lot of folks wouldn't join them because they were scared, but they had admiration for them. And a lot of folks became Christians because they noticed that, for instance, the man who was blind before he met Jesus, after he met Jesus, he can see. So these people were seeing things like that. If you read Acts chapter 5, Peter's shadow just passed over people and they got healed. Those people knew people who knew those people were sick and deathly ill or had some sort of skin disease that ostracized them from the community. But the next day they see them, it's not like that. And they say, what happened to you? Them church people. I joined the church. Peter just walked past me, and here I am. That's living proof. And so the church, being a social service organization, is where the word got out to the community. The church is now invested in the community in a real way. And so if you go to the community from the church, you can reach them, but you can't go, you know, like the Mormons riding around on bikes and jumping off and telling people, you know, an angel named Moron told me to come tell you this. But what you do is you go and meet their needs. When you meet their needs like Jesus, he saw these people were hungry. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And that's what Bring Back the Family is all about. It is a compassionate move because you see the destruction of the families and you see what that destroyed family is doing to our society and to the people who are involved in it. And so it bleeds your heart, and it created a passion in you to want to do something about that. And so that passion will drive you to come up with a way to reach these people, but usually it's through meeting their needs. That's what Jesus did. He saw the hungry, and he fed them because they were hungry, and they followed him. Church became more missionary, and you know, and did like they did in the Bible. We really wouldn't be having all these issues, but because the church is so introverted, that all it's all about us. We fight over everything. It's all about us. And and every time you turn around, come over to my church, we got a concert happening. Come over here, we got Kirk Franklin coming. Come over here, we got Lecrae, and he rap. You know, when do we go to those? The community is watching us as we turn away from them. And we need to be turning toward them, we, you know. But the Lord has his way of getting us out there, and this is one of those ways. And so, yeah, we can reach them. One of the ways my wife did it last year, and we didn't do it intentionally, we just started giving stuff away. We set up a table in front of the house. Everything was free. You don't even need permission from the city to give stuff away. So we just you can sell it, you got to get permission. You're giving it away, you can just give it away. And people stopped back. And that way, we got to know people came, neighbors came out. We didn't even know they lived in that house. Like somebody was saying tonight, you don't even know your neighbors. It ain't like it used to be. Everybody knew everybody on the block, the whole street from, like, you know, you knew people from Schaefer all the way to Otter Drive. Now, now in the very block you in, you'd be lucky if you know three people. So it was a way to break the ice, and that brought them out to see. Neighbors from down there came just to see, and neighbors from down here came just to see. And other people who don't live on this street stopped and saw. So there's a way to reach out. And when it's done like that, that's and especially when they that kind of love, that kind of reach out, that's what draws them in. And then once you get them in, well, the next step is logical. So if you start from the church as the foundation and you go out into the community doing real things instead of spitting and foaming over everybody, telling them they're going to hell, and show them the love that Christ showed, because he could have came in and told everybody he was going to hell, but he didn't. He went into the hideaways and the byways, and he compelled men to come in, even when they wouldn't listen to him, like the rich young ruler. Jesus pleaded with this man to come in. You can't tell me Jesus wasn't a good preacher or teacher or witness, but the rich young ruler chose to ride off, but he rode off sad. He didn't get what he came for, and only Jesus could give it to him. So in that way, compassion was shown, it just wasn't received. So if we come up with ways to do what Jesus did in a real way, and he took it to the streets. He did not just, he went to the synagogue when it was open, but they usually kick him out. But then Sunday, since they worshiped on Saturday, that was their day, okay, because that's the Jewish day of the Sabbath. So, and when Jesus was here, they were still under the Sabbath rules because he hadn't risen from the grave yet. When Christians started to meet on the first day of the week, like you see in the book of 1 Corinthians 16, they had just decided, well, he got up on the first day, we'll meet on the first day. But anyway, he would go into the synagogue and you know, do what the Jews were doing and how they conducted that service there. As he was a visitor, it was their custom to allow him to, or somebody to speak, and Jesus would go up and do what was custom, just like Paul did when he was out. But after that, they'd kick him out. But anyway, he went into the streets, and that's where he took the gospel, to the streets, when the Jews rejected Paul. Paul said, since you know, deem yourselves unworthy of God's promise, then we turn to the Gentiles. And so the point is, if you meet people's needs, you reach them. But yes, they need salvation. Yes, they do. But Jesus fed the 5,000. But if you read John chapter 6, you'll see the 5,000 like that food. But after Jesus told them some hard truths about who he was, they couldn't eat that and they left. He even questioned his own disciples. Okay, so yeah, do things to bring them in. And then want a big old shout out to happy birthday to Shania. You know, she just sounds like somebody who's getting ready to happening and go happen. And that's some awesome stuff. She's dynamic that way. And that's awesome. And it is so refreshing to hear somebody at her age understand life, enjoy life, but understand there's a limit. And you can have fun, but there's a limit. And you got to work, and if you got to work, then you might as well make as much money as you can. Get the best, like those jobs. I was just sitting listening to Rebecca when she was those jobs. Lord have mercy. We need whoever take up the electrician job, we need one today. So just give me a call. You already hired, and you ain't even out of school yet. You already hired because they are in big demand, I'm telling you. And computer, anything with computers. If you can learn that, you can make money at home. If you can learn how to fix these things, if you can learn how to create websites, and you want to just sit around doing that all day long, you can make money at home. And it's unbelievable the opportunities that are out there because, like she was saying, not everybody's going to go to college. My wife would agree with that. You know, not everybody is suited for it. They're just not. We seem to believe everybody's going to grow up and go to college. No, they're not. They may not even want to. They may be better suited to a skilled trade. So a big shout out to Shania. Very refreshing to hear somebody at her age. The community, just a little bit on that. The community center. Yeah, and plumbers. Yeah, if you know a plumber, we need one of those. You're hired, even before you get out of school. Okay.
And carpenters. Oh.
And carpenters. Yes, we need one of those. Vanities in the bathroom. You do those, boom, you're hired. But that's good money, and you get to set your days, your hours, your work. You get to pick your income when you're self-employed. You get to determine how much you want to make. If you want to work a little bit, you're going to probably make a little bit. If you want to work a lot, you're going to make a lot. Okay? One guy once told me it was his lawn in the city of Ecorse, and his bill was $55. I went in, did what I had to do. I spread the fertilizer out. I put weed control where it was needed, took the bill, folded it up, put it in his box, and put that little flag in the lawn that says this lawn has been sprayed, don't walk on it for 24 hours, and left. Well, I was on my way to leaving, and then he came out, and he said, man, you've been here about 5 minutes. and I got to give you $55? You know what I told him? You're not paying me for the length of time I was here. You're paying me for the knowledge that I used to turn your lawn green and keep the weeds out. That's what you're paying for. If I do it in 2 minutes, if you have green lawn with no weeds, that's what you're paying for. You're not paying for me to come stand over there for a certain length of time. You're paying for me to get rid of your weeds, turn your lawn green. So you get to determine what you make your own business. But like it says over in 2 Corinthians, if you give a little, you get a little. It's the same way when you're an entrepreneur, you're self-employed. If you give a little to your business, you'll get a little from it. If you give a lot to it, you'll get a lot from it. So it's up to you. But the community centers mostly went away because of insurance problems. You know, comprehensive care or when people get hurt, that became a problem. Insurance started going through the roof because, you know, you play baseball on playgrounds, hit the ball, hard ball too. Boom, somebody's hitting the head on the playground. Whose fault is that? Somebody ride down the slide board. Remember, I don't know if y'all remember back in the day, the sliding boards were made out of steel. And when the sun hit that baby, heat it up real good. Well, you could burn your leg. Who pays for that? And I don't know if y'all remember, the sliding boards weren't real. They had one little one, and they had a really tall one at the school, at Kennedy School. And people fell off the sliding board. Who pays for that? They had the monkey bars. I specifically remember a guy fell off of that. The ambulance had to come and get him. Who pays for that? They had the wading pools, but a kid swallowed some water and almost drowned. Who pays for that? So insurance became a problem. And then you had the community centers, like the Ecorse Community Center, the Rouge Beachwood Center. And the skating rink that we used to have here, the ice rink over at Municipal Field, along with the wading pool, insurance, who pays for that? And so that's what killed all of those. And so Pastor Barlow came up with this idea to build a community center because he knew the value of having that place for people to go. Along with it, like when I went to the playground, you could learn how to make pot holders. You could learn how to do all kinds of arts and crafts. They took you on field trips, so you were exposed to different things, and that went on all summer long while you were out of school. But then those things just started disappearing, and that's when the corners started filling up. And then when you really saw what was going on the corner and that fast money, then that's when everybody started selling stuff to get paid. So his idea was to bring that back, and that's what that building on 12th Street was all about. I remember talking about him just before he died, went home to be with the Lord. We stood right out there on that porch at Mount Zion and looked at it, and we talked about it, and he told me what his dream was about it and why it was where it was and how it ended up like it is to this day. Not a lot of pastors were community-minded. They were all into growing their churches, growing their congregations, and so they gave up on social services or having that kind of connection to the community or even seeing that as something. You know, when you got too many chiefs and everybody wanted to be the chief, then you had no Indians. And so since everybody couldn't be the chief, they started bailing out. And sort of got left holding the bag by himself, and heck, it's just turned into a nightmare. So, community centers, when you do those things, it becomes an issue. Just having a church insurance is an issue. Just having church service, they want to know every footstep those folks will take from the time they pull up in that parking lot until they sit in that pew. If they have to go to the restroom, where is it? How many steps to it? They want to know that much. How many doors? Do the doors work right? They come out and inspect the church. And everything in there has to be exactly like you say. They just charge you for each thing they call a hazard. And so if they're that way with the church, how much more with where people can get hurt, Who pays for that becomes the question. So that's what happened to community centers. It became a funding thing, and it became an insurance thing. It could be a really, recreation can be a really big part of a city's budget. It can become, because it's got the field, if it's a playground, grass got to be cut. That means you need a commercial more because you got more than one playground because you got more than different districts in the city. So you know what I mean? Funding becomes a problem. And not, along with funding, insurance becomes a problem. And then, okay, yeah, right. Especially when kids are involved. You know, parents love for their kids to go to the playground and think it's real nice until they get hurt, then they sue the city. And then the city, you know, ends up with a stack of lawsuits. And so rather than go through all of that, they mostly just opt out. And then they come back with the playgrounds that can't hurt you, like the ones that you see on the corner of 15th Street. Those are completely, in other words, they proved to the insurance company that we went to the nth degree to make sure that this place is as safe as it can possibly be. And so apparently it worked out because it's there. But then today, like you said, they're into those phones. And that's where they live. But like I say, these kids next door to me, they love to get out. I saw one out yesterday, and it was cold, but he had on his little face mask, his little sweatsuit, and he out in the back shooting hoops, just making shooting some baskets. He didn't stay long, but he was out there shooting some baskets. So it was just good to see him really shooting baskets instead of holding his phone, tilting it back and forth like he's in the game, you know, and he's not. And then the last thing I love is financial literacy. If you wait until your children get 18 years old to teach them how to be financially literate, I hope you saved a lot of money to help them from age 20 to 30, because they're going to be back at you over and over and over and over again. And when you don't help them, they're going to blame you for not having taught them. So get that financial literacy together, you know. But this summer is coming. This spring and summer is coming, and like you know, you create an event like we had pretty good success last year. All we need to do is create an event that's just for fun for the kids, and it provides some things that the parents need for the kids, and it's just a fun day. Teaches them to have fun together. And it shows them that the church is not all stuck up and you don't have to be scared, but you can have music, you can have fun, and yeah, and then, like you say, have those, like last time, but you know, that's coming up at Run for Christ. We're going to do a spring and a fall one. So, you know, y'all can get to work on that and make that happen. And also, Sarah wants to start that ribbon dancing ministry. Her daughter, Hunter, is into that, praise dancing with the ribbons. So that's coming back. And the other, you know, Naomi's going to be working with the older praise dancers. So that's coming back so that we can get the youth more involved in church rather than just Sunday school, but they can do some fun stuff and stuff they want to do.
Yeah, we got to get a big push going to get people back in church and then just really have a lot of, you know, things for them to do. Yeah, a big push to get them on. Whatever church you go to, just get a big push, pushing them back in so that they can, you know, get their heads out of these phones.
If you can show them an alternative and you know, if you just really look at the witness and life of Jesus, you know, and if you look at Peter and the apostles in the early days, in the first six chapters of the book of Acts, they were really community-minded. And they were, and people who saw that loved that and became a part of that. How do you grow to 3,000 people after one sermon? And then by the time you get to the book of Acts, you're up to 6,000-7,000 people. And they liked what they saw. And what did they see? They saw folks who didn't look at anything they had as their own, who previously were stingy people, were selfish people, were hoarding people.
Mm-hmm.
But now with the Holy Spirit inside of them and that love of God is alive in their hearts, now they're willing to help this person today. They weren't willing to sell that stuff yesterday, but they are today. And so they know these people were stingy yesterday, and today these people are benevolent. They have to say, since these people were stingy yesterday and they're givers today, it has to be God. So I believe if we do the same thing and we show that kind of love, like you should see how well-respected Minister Shelley is. And you know Kat.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackie got a chance to see a little bit of it. But she is so well-respected that the city bus, when it comes by, they stop and let the people off to get a free lunch and prayer. And then they load back up. That is, I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's how you're supposed to do it. That's sharing love, you know. People take that love right on with them. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And they won't come inside the church, though, but they will come in front of the church. When she was doing it inside the church, they wouldn't come in. But outside, they come up. You've been there. You know what it's like. They just come up, pull up in cars, come walking up, come up on bikes. Last time they were even on motorcycles. And
that lets you know that they're searching.
They're searching and they're looking for love.
They want some things to do. That's great.
So the church is going to have to become the community center.
Yeah, it is. I'm just thinking about that community center over there. I say the people are so selfish. They just, you know, they just rather see it just sit there and rot versus, you know, thinking about the next generation, the kids that could have been enjoying that building.
That's unbelievable. That is what.
It's just sitting there. We happy that it's just sitting there rotting. Just, you know, we'd rather just let it rot and fall apart instead of, you know, letting it go forth for the next generation.
All the churches in Rouge, Ecorus, and Lower Southwest Detroit. Okay, what if all of them decided, all of the churches there decided we was going to make that work? You know, if we can give...
Everybody want to be in charge.
If we can give one of these great gospel singers $20,000 or more to come and sing 3, 4, 5 gospel songs at our church, couldn't we give that much to that effort? If we can if we can pay them that much, can't we give that much to make that building function and it be for the good of the community? It doesn't have to be for your church or my church or they church or their church, but it's for the community. It's Jesus in the community. And people don't have to be saved to come there, but we just pray that when they come there, be so influenced. Like Detroit Rescue Mission, they're unabashedly Christian. Salvation Army, unabashedly Christian. You don't have to be saved to go there, but they ain't going to stop being Christian if you come there. And a lot of people who come there unsaved leave saved. But they don't command that, but they still help you. And so if we could be community like that, if we could do that, then every church in the community would benefit from that. If we just stop this competition. Yeah, all we want is members. We just want a whole bunch of members so we can say we got a mega church. And I'm a bishop now. I ain't just a pastor no more. I'm a bishop. And all of this, you know, and we're trying to pawn it off on the government. Our government was never, ever created to be a social services organization. It was created to foster an environment where people could pursue life, liberty, and prosperity or happiness or whatever you want to call it. It was supposed to make it safe for us to do those things. It was not supposed to become all that it is today. And we complain about the taxes we have to pay. That's because we keep asking them to do things, and nothing's free. Okay? If they just did what, if they created roads so we could pursue life, liberty, and prosperity, if they created police forces so that they could serve and protect, then those things should be paid for, right? We should be taxed for. But we're taxed for taking care of people who don't even want to work, people who make a lifestyle out of living off of social services. So when you have, and then they can't police it because it's out of control. So if the church would step up, then maybe the government could step back, and they're horrible at it. They're as bad at social services as the apostles were at running the social services in the early church. If you remember, prejudice had crept in. The Hebraic Jews were getting everything. The Grecian Jews, who lived outside of the Promised Land, they weren't getting their fair share. They was getting scraps, but the Hebraic Jews who lived in the Promised Land was getting everything. But that was the apostles running it. When they put the deacons in charge, then that thing ran like a fine oil machine, and by the time you get to Acts chapter 6, everything is good to go. And that's where we are today. Our government is horrible at social services, horrible at it, and the church is too. And that's why, but if we step up and we do what Jesus did, just show love, healing people, or praying for people to be healed, helping people that we can, because I'll close, stop preaching with this. 1 John chapter 3 stunned the crap out of me one day when I read that. It asked the question, how can you see that somebody has a need and you have what they need, but you fail to give it to them? The question was, how can the love of God be in that person? So how can churches on earth own almost all the land in America and have tons of money, and there's so much need in this country, and all we're doing is having concerts, and all we're doing is having conferences, and one thing after another, one way to show you how to get something from God after another, and we're expecting the government to fix all that, pointing people toward the government. But if each church would take care of their own members, that would speak loudly in the community.
Right. Right.
But one morning I got up on Facebook and I saw some stuff, and I'm telling you, the church ain't doing so hot. This girl was real angry at a particular church in the community, and she voiced it out there on Facebook, and that was something else. That's an indictment. So we have to get better. We got to get better. Yeah, bring back the family. Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's a start. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was good. Good deal, Miss Jackie. Good deal, Miss Johnson. Good deal, Shania, and all the listeners out there. Good deal. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Always.
You're welcome.
Hey, we got work to do. That's all to it. Oh, we want to let's see. We want to keep Miss Johnson and her husband, Mr. Big Ed Johnson, and wish him a speedy recovery. We all praying for you, Mr. Big Ed. Tall soldier.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay, well, thank everybody. Get on out of here. Go to the next step. And just keep on praying for bring back the family and our communities and our children and what we want for them, and you know, send us all the resources that we need to just get this parade started. Okay? So thank everybody. We will see you next week. We're going to talk about, we'll tell you next week about that, how you can spend some time with your youth, with your kids to get that $25 prize of writing a letter for the clean air, okay? So we'll tell you about that next week and we'll get it, get together and get our kids and, you know, one little spot and have everybody do their writing so they can all get their little $25 and we can all go on a little field trip. Okay, so we'll tell you about that next week. And, hey, we got work to do. Same time, same place.
Thank you.
Oh.